Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I'm talking with growth architect Daryl Amey. Now, Daryl is here to share how to build a revenue growth engine. He says that growing revenue has never been easy, so how do we set growth goals in this economic environment? Keep listening. He's going to share. So as a growth architect, Daryl helps companies create strategies to grow revenue. We all need to know how to do that. He is the author of Revenue Growth Engine, How to Align Sales and Marketing to Accelerate Growth, and that book is on my desk. Thank you for sending that, Daryl. I really appreciate it. And he also hosts the Revenue Growth Podcast and co-hosts Selling from the Heart. He serves as a member of the Forbes Business Council and is a C-suite network advisor. Excuse me, I will be muting and coughing over the next hour, just so you're warned. So over the past 25 years, Daryl has worked with hundreds of companies, and he has trained thousands of sales professionals. Recently, he began to notice that growth was getting really much harder. Sales competition is more intense than ever. Marketing has become incredibly complex. In all of this, owners and executives want to know, where's the growth? Good morning, Daryl. Welcome to Your Partner in Success. I'm so glad to have you here because this is a big, big question. It's a big, big conversation. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Denise. I'm really looking forward to sharing time and ideas today. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, listen, I agree. I've been reading your book. You and I were talking in the green room about Louisiana weather. We've had four hurricanes. We're still kind of recovering from the last one. My voice hasn't caught up yet because seriously, there's a lot of stuff that just goes through the wind and in the ground, and you know, I'm suffering a little bit with that. But one thing, I had 3 days without power. Guess what I did? I read, I marked, I copied things.
Yes!
I had sticky notes all over it, and yours was in my stack.
Awesome.
So listen, before I start asking you how we get past, and I think a lot of it is mindset, in my opinion, but how we get past a lot of the things that stop us from creating strategies to grow revenue. So tell people a bit about yourself, and then let's just rock and roll.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Denise. I am passionate about helping great companies grow, and this is the reason for that. I'm on the board of several nonprofits, and I've noticed that the people that really move the needle in these organizations that are doing incredible work are thinking, generous business owners. And so that drove me to write the book. And then in the middle of all this, launching the book this past summer, obviously in the middle of the pandemic and all of the economic fallout of that, another layer of urgency stepped on top of it, which is basically saying, hey, you know, right now we have got to get strategic about growth so that we can, you know, for many companies, pull out of the ditch and make sure that 2021, which I believe is a make or break year for a lot of companies, we need to make sure that we're driving growth in 2021 so that we can sustain our business. So I'm very passionate about it. I spent the last 27 years straight out of university. I'm a Canadian kid that married a Southern girl, and so
sorry about
ended
that.
Up in sales. It was wonderful. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, Denise. I started straight out of university into sales, B2B sales in the technology space. About 17 years ago, I got a wild hair to start my own business, to scratch that entrepreneurial drive and itch. And I started a sales training company. And my very first client down in Houston, just a little bit west of you, said, hey, Daryl, everything you taught us is great, but our website doesn't say anything about it. Do you build websites? And being my first client, the answer was, yes, sir, we build websites.
Yep.
I'd actually built one for my church and a nonprofit. But the concept was, now for the last 18 years, I've been right in the middle of sales and sales development. I've worked with sales reps on three different continents and worked with large companies, small companies, and then also marketing, this whole world of marketing where when I started, I'll date myself a little bit, but in 1993, it was really the year I graduated from college was the year of the internet. And oh my goodness, how much, has changed in the marketing world over that period of time with web, search, social, inbound marketing, account-based marketing, and all of the different, rabbit trails of all of that. So it's been very interesting being in the middle and being in both sales and marketing. One of the things that I had this realization when I was getting ready to speak to a conference full of sales and marketing professionals is, Denise, it's not really about sales or marketing. We can get a lot of, we can get distracted with a lot of shiny objects and tactics and all of it. Really what it's about is driving revenue. And, if there's one thing that I could say to everyone listening in today is keep your eye on the ball right now. The thing we have to be focused on is driving revenue. So I know there's a lot of questions about, Facebook this, inbound marketing this and that and all of that. Those are all great questions. But at the end of the day, the real goal here is driving revenue and how can we put systems and strategies in place to ensure that our companies are growing, especially during this critical time.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I marked in the book was page 32, and it says, lift the hood on most businesses and you will discover a revenue growth engine with only a handful of cylinders running. I couldn't mark that one yellow quick enough. Like, ooh, ooh, ooh. he's so right. I actually wore out one of my yellow markers.
Well, I'm just laughing because I had this realization one day when I was mowing my lawn. And that's actually one of the times I listen to podcasts. I drive around in my little self-disclosure. I drive around in my lawnmower and listen to podcasts. And I was, puttering across my lawn at, 2 miles an hour or however fast a lawnmower goes. And I was looking at my driveway and my car was parked there. And I like, I like cars. I like to accelerate and drive fast. I have a pretty sporty Audi in my driveway. And I was thinking, this lawnmower has an engine and the car has an engine, but they're very, very different, right? The one engine is going to get me where I need to go. I guess, I could take my lawnmower to the store, which would be kind of humorous, or I could take
my car. I think there's a country song about that. Wasn't there a country song?
Probably.
George Jones. It was George Jones. Just remember that.
Yeah. Well, I believe there's actually a scene in the South Louisiana movie, The Water Boy, about that. So, or Forrest Gump, one of the two. I can't remember. But anyhow, the reality is every business, you wouldn't be in business if you didn't have some kind of growth engine, something driving revenue. So everyone's got a revenue growth engine. The question is, how many cylinders are in that engine and how well does it perform? What kind of fuel are you putting in the engine? And that was the analogy that really drove the thought process in the book to say, okay, well, what would designing a growth engine for a company, what are the cylinders that, could and should be in place? And so thanks for wearing your highlighter out on that.
I did.
That was really the epicenter of kind of where all this came from.
And it makes sense. And the thing, and when you were talking, there's so many different things that we can be doing. Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, stories. And after a while, you're like, oh, my God, where do I start? Where do I stop?
Like, and it's not slowing down, right?
No, it's growing. And I build websites. I do social media for my clients. And every once in a while, I just go and I leave. I just like somebody just hit me with a cattle prod and said, go away from your desk right now because it's confusing. But the thing, and it can be confusing, but one of the things that you said, you were talking about, and all I could think was shiny object syndrome. You have to Right? I mean, you have to say, okay, I'm going to be an Instagram. Yeah, pick three. Just pick the top three. Test them. That's at least what I think. Test them, work them, and don't confuse the heck out of people by saying, oh, hey, by the way, I'm over here too. You know, come join me. No. You're already bugging the heck out of me. No. And I say this as a social media person, so the answer is sometimes no.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, the platforms are going to continue to evolve. If we've learned one thing over the last 10 years, it's that, you know, the way we communicate as people continues to evolve, and obviously sales and marketing is about, you know, we're communicating value. And so, you know, while the platforms and, you know, the places where your clients and prospects congregate, gathering, and share information, while that's going to continue to evolve, what needs to stay constant are two things. One we've already talked about, which is the focus is driving revenue. The second thing that needs to stay constant is the fuel for your revenue growth engine. If you have, you know, if you take your car and you put bad gas in your car, I don't know if you've ever had bad gasoline in your car, but, you know, you're driving down the road, all of a sudden it starts sputtering and it's not good, right? It's not good for where you want to go. It's not good for your engine. So the fuel for your revenue growth engine is what I call a focused message. And the message needs to be focused on this. It needs to be focused on the outcomes that your clients and prospects want. In other words, it needs to be focused on the things they're trying to achieve, problems they want to solve, or goals that they want to hit. And, you know, the challenge with most marketing, it doesn't matter, and sales, it doesn't matter whether it's a website, an Instagram post, you know, a Facebook ad, an email. Most marketing that I see from companies is all about the company and not about the client. It's all about, you know, either how great our products are, how wonderful our company is, you know, usually with ridiculous adjectives about how we're the best and, you know, all that. It's all about them, or it's all about me. When it needs to be all about the prospect and the client and the outcomes they want. And so, you know, if you look at your, it doesn't matter what channels you're using to communicate, but when you look at what your salespeople are saying and your marketing people are saying, everything needs to lead with an outcome that your clients want. If they want to recover their revenue from the, you know, devastation of the pandemic, lead with that, not, you know, that you build websites and you're great at it. You can get to that, but lead with what, because here's the deal, and I think we all know this, but it's so important to remember, everybody is bombarded with thousands of messages every day, and only amped up since, you know, salespeople went to their home offices. We're barraged with stuff, and we have finely tuned filters, and we only let things through our filter as buyers that are related to outcomes that we want. Once again, problems that need to be solved in our life or business, goals that we have. Everything else gets tuned out. So you may be the best, the greatest, the most awarded, blah, 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 blah. Nobody, what they care about is, hey, here's something here that can help me achieve my goal. So wherever you go, you know, whatever channel, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, what are we, TikTok now, and, you know, Snapchat, all these places, wherever you go to hang out with your prospects and clients, make sure that you're talking about what they want to hear about. And that's the ball game.
And, you know, I can trace a lot of that mindset that you just spoke of to the early days of web development. Yeah, I started before we really had WordPress or GUI, G-U-I, graphical user interface, dating myself. Yeah, but I am a nerd, and I do have a computer science degree, so I can do that.
Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, what I noticed very early on was that you know, these, and they were static websites. They were god awful, but we had to build them. And they were all
right.
about me. And even then, I knew before social media, even then, I knew that wasn't a good look. I did not want to see, you know, these, this is what I do. I didn't want to see the picture of you in a suit standing behind a leather chair with your grandfather's portrait above your head like you were a banker. Remember? And even then, I was like, no, this doesn't work. So, but some of that attitude still lingers. You know, this is what I can do. And you're not actually speaking to people. You're assaulting people with your credentials. We don't want that.
No, it's self-congratulatory marketing.
Yes.
Right? One of my favorite. I get asked to evaluate, and I'm sure you do as well. We get asked to evaluate marketing messages and all of that. And usually, and my favorite line in a website is, we pride ourselves in dot, dot, dot. So, you know, which makes me think they're like sitting back in a recliner. People are feeding them grapes and fanning them, priding them. We're so proud. You know, it's like, stop it. Just stop it. Please. The thing about all of this is we just have to remember here. We evaluate messages, and here's what I usually see in marketing messages and sales as well. It reads like this. Me, 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 you. And I return it back to them and go, okay, just flip it upside down and go, you, 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 us.
Right.
Then you'll fix your marketing message, right? Make it about them. No one, I mean, at some point they do care about you, obviously, but only in the context of how you can help them achieve their outcomes faster and better than, their other options.
Exactly. When I'm taking on a website client, and I interview them because I don't take all comers. I have to like you. I have to like your message. I have to know that I can actually work with you and get your message out. And the first thing I'll tell people, it's not about you. Let's just wipe that right off of the chalkboard. It's not about you. Yes, that message has to be there somewhere, but you need to connect with your audience, with your consumers, with whoever it is that you need. You need to talk to them like they're real people. And that message needs to be heard. We're real people. You know, talk to us like you actually really care and can do something to help us, because I'm here because I'm looking for, you know, something to bandage my boo-boo. You're supposed to fix it for me. I don't care
right.
what it is that you drive or how big your house is and any
right.
of that nonsense.
How many President's yep. Clubs trips you've won. We get involved in a lot of sales and sales development. And I actually, in addition to the Revenue Growth Podcast, I get to co-host the Selling from the Heart Podcast. And we talk a lot about sales, and we talk about the empty suit salesperson, you know, that person was all about them, and people can smell insincerity from a mile away, and they can smell self-interest. And this is true for sales professionals. The analogy that we like to use in sales training, especially in our world of socially connected people and, you know, digital conversation before face-to-face meeting, we like to use the analogy of dating. You know, it's like if you went, first of all, on that first date and you only talked about yourself, you know, and you spent the entire first date talking about yourself, there's not a chance in the world you're going to get a second date. And same thing if you take it digital and you said, okay, if you put the eHarmony or match.com profile out there, and it was all about, you know, how awesome you are and all of that, you're not going to get, no one's going to want to work with that. Everyone's going to run away from you. Yet, from a sales perspective and marketing perspective, this is what, you know, is sadly common practice in many, many people and marketing strategies is we got to tell them how great we are. We got to tell them, you know, that we're the best. And by the way, the only person that can say you're the best, you cannot say you're the best. The only person that can say you're the best is another person. The only person that can say that you're an expert is one of your clients. So,
exactly.
You know, don't you put the testimonials out there, but don't say we are the experts in dot, 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 because people, you know, go, hey, prove it. Right.
Well, exactly.
So,
and the thing is,
yeah.
we as humans with big egos, we automatically are programmed to think that we're just the best. We're smart. We're brilliant. By golly, you need to pay attention to me. You may want to move that aside. I'm just telling you right now. It doesn't
right.
work.
But it all goes back to the fuel for your revenue growth engine and what you really want to do. I coach people in the revenue growth engine book and then in the growth strategy workshops we do. I say, hey, look, you know, your salespeople carry around a price book. It's an inventory of all the products and services that you sell. The marketing equivalent might be the catalog on your website. It's that inventory of all the products and services you sell. Great to have a product inventory. But what you also need is an outcomes inventory. You need to sit down and go, what are all the outcomes we can deliver to our clients? What are all the problems we can solve for them? What are all of the goals we can help them hit? That then becomes the ingredients for all of your sales and marketing messaging. And now your talk tracks and your social posts and your emails and your web pages all lead with outcomes. How you can help your clients achieve their goals. And it's really, you know, it's really just a mindset to go, and it's really kind of it's just being a good person. It's a servant mindset that says, hey, I'm really here to help you, you know, make your life better and help you achieve these goals or solve these problems. Let's talk about that. And that becomes the rocket fuel that really helps your engine accelerate. And a lot of companies right now need to take a look at this because, Denise, I see, and I'm curious what you think, but I see that since the beginning of the pandemic and the economic fallout, the outcomes that most buyers want has shifted. Let me give you an example. Gartner, the technology research company, did about 6 weeks after the pandemic started, they asked corporate buyers in the B2B space where I specialize, they said, what do you want? And they're like, oh, you know, we want resiliency. We want remote workers enabled. We want redundancy. We need a new level of security. Whereas 6 months before, you know, the outcomes they wanted were, hey, we want productivity. We want to be able to scale quickly. We want, you know, to be able to onboard new employees fast. And, you know, all these, it was totally different. And so if your website, or even worse, let's say your automated emails, when someone fills out a form, didn't get changed since the COVID crisis started, you know, you might actually, there are companies, and I've received these emails, they're automated emails that say, Daryl, in this exploding economy at this time of incredible prosperity, right? You go, whoa, stop the press. And that's why we've got to look as businesses, and I really actually challenge everyone listening in, after this podcast, go through your website with the lens of somebody in this economy, in this market, with the lens of the clients and prospects that you've talked to over the last 6 months, and go, is this going to resonate with them, or is this going to offend them even? And same with all your marketing materials, sales presentations, email automation. It is critical that we shift it, and we're probably going to have to, bad news, we're probably going to have to do it again whenever, you know, whenever the hockey stick starts turning back up and we, you know, please someday maybe get in this post-pandemic economy, whatever that looks like, the outcomes will be different again. And this is really, really critical because you risk turning people off without even knowing it. And this is a very, very dangerous place to be.
It is. I mean, and I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm actually reworking my own website, you know, cobbler, no shoes, you know, I'm that person. But I'm also realizing that I don't know how I missed this. My Facebook, LinkedIn, all of those were really outdated. And there are little mm-hmm. hidden spots in all of your social media accounts that,
yes.
you know, when you first set up the Facebook business page, go look at that page and you'll be going, oh, geez. Okay, I'm going to go fix that right now. Go to your YouTube description. Oh, man. I mean, I started looking at, I mean, just old stuff that was still out there. And Daryl, I banged my head on my desk. I did. It was awful. And I should know better. So I banged my head, then I chastised myself, then I took an aspirin, and then I went and cleaned it all up. And I'm still cleaning it up. So pay attention to what Daryl just said, y'all. I'm telling you, it's important.
Yeah, it really is. It is. And, you know, this is, I think it goes back to, you know, what we were talking about at the top of the hour, which was, hey, you know, there's a lot of tactics and tips and tricks and platforms and social platforms and new marketing automation tools and all of that. All of those things are great, but keep your eye on the ball. Grow revenue with a message that's focused around what your clients and prospects want. And make sure, you know, you just, that, this is the problem of shiny object syndrome. And, you know, I have shiny object syndrome. I like to see the new thing, and I forget, like many of us, about, you know, the old platform that I set up and this sitting out there with our, you know, your company name on it, and you haven't looked at it in a year. You know, go back, make a habit, to make a process of going back and looking at those things on a regular basis. You know, just make it a to-do item that recurs, because the reality is now, and the exciting thing about today's world of marketing in particular is people can find your company in so many different ways. I mean, it used to be, you know, it used to be the good old days of the yellow pages, right? Give the yellow page company 20 grand and you're good for the year. You're done. Marketing, check. You know, now the good thing is people can find you on the internet, on social, on YouTube, on all these different platforms and directories. It just is phenomenally wonderful. However, and most of them are free or inexpensive. However, the expense is you still have to invest, and what you need to invest is actually the time and energy to make sure those platforms are maintained and current and properly messaged.
Exactly. I found some old articles that I had written a long time ago. They have nothing to do with what I do now. I'm trying to get them removed. I mean, just things like that. Just kind of, you know, keep your side of the fence clean. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, the most important things to consider when creating your sales and marketing message. Is there anything that you want to add to that before we move on to maybe some examples of sales that companies are created? You may have touched on that a bit as well.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. And you know, the message thing here's a huge thing that I've noticed about marketing people, especially in the B2B space. And you know, I would just say, you know, I used to say, get out of your cubicles, right? Get out and go visit with clients and get out in the field. Like, make it a habit to get out in front of your clients on a regular cadence, say once a week. Make it a habit to do a success story interview once a week or once a month with your clients, because what's going to happen is you're going to learn about the outcomes that they want. And by the way, now, obviously, it may not be get out of your cubicle. It may be, you know, jump into a Zoom room with one of your sales reps who's doing a, you know, periodic business review with a client, or, you know, invite a client to a digital cup of coffee just to talk to them and learn about, hey, what challenges are going on in your business right now? How are you adapting to this environment? What, you know, what is changed? What are you concerned about? What are you, you know, what are you focused on going into the new year? Have those conversations, because that's where you'll learn about the outcomes that really matter. So you might be able to sit down and, you know, with your executive team and brainstorm out, say, 20 different outcomes that you can deliver, problems you could solve, goals you can help your clients hit. The question, though, is which ones really, really matter to your prospects right now? And that's why I think we need to be continually in dialogue with our current clients, especially our ideal clients, the ones that are best fit for our company. They'll tell us what's important to them, and that then becomes what we lead with in all of our marketing. And even better, they'll not only tell us what's important to them, they'll say it in their words. This is where you really get dialed in. This is kind of like the old days when you used to have the television with the knob on it and you fine tune in the channel. This is where you do the fine tuning, where you go, okay, these are the words that my client actually used. I'm going to use those words in my marketing, because chances are every industry has its lingo, right? And their way of talking. And when you start using your client's words in your marketing, then you really get dialed in.
See, that is brilliant. And I have to admit, I never thought of that. And I have a lot of consultations with my clients. To me, it's important to listen to them, to talk with them, you know, to set goals and, you know, not just do emails and, oh, hey, by the way, go to, you know, Dropbox and fill this out. That annoys me. I prefer to have real conversations. It never occurred to me to use their words or really, and I do pay attention, but I don't think I've gone that extra step and said, okay, this is how they talk, because we all have our own conversations going on in our own heads, right?
Right.
So instead of correcting their terminology or how they spoke, write it down and then use it. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Well, the reason that's important, and especially, well, I guess it's in any space. I live in the B2B space. And in the B2B space, there's so many buzzwords. And it's like
noise.
We're going to help you be more productive. That's like static noise. It's like the white noise you turn on, you know, to drown out the other noise while you're sleeping. It's static. You know, these buzzwords of we're going to help you maximize your efficiency and drive scalability so that you can be more productive, secure, and resilient. You know, I mean, you go, wow, that was really good. No, it wasn't at all. It's noise. So
just listening to you, I just kind of went, bleh. Yeah. And
it's,
I have written some
BS
of those sentences.
Garbage. We all have written them, and we're proud
of them
because they sound so good.
Well, they do if you're not trying. You know what? If you read them back to yourselves, you're going to start laughing. When I'm writing something, I will read it back to myself and go, well, that sucked. Let's try it again.
Yeah, you can read it with that voice too. We help companies maximize, you know, make fun of yourself. Instead, you know, let's say one of our companies, I'm a partner in an organization that works in a very specialized market. We help companies that use the EOS Traction operating system drive revenue goals. So when we talk to those companies, they have a language that's all their own. They use a vision traction organizer. They set 1, 3, and 10-year targets. So, for example, instead of saying, we help companies develop strategies to hit their revenue goals, which is what we do, by the way, we say,
sorry,
we help.
This is very entertaining.
Good. I'm glad you're having fun. You know, instead of saying that, we know who our clients are. So we say, we help EOS companies hit their VTO goals so they can hit their 1, 3, and 10-year targets. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but to them, they go, wow, that's our language. And so, you know, they now go, now in that first impression of whatever website or email or whatever they're reading, they go, huh, maybe these people actually understand my business. And I get another notch up on the trust scale. And this is so critical right now, because we live, the word of the year in 2018 was post-trust. We live in a post-trust economy. Nobody trusts anything anymore. You can have the most brilliantly wordsmithed marketing piece with the imagery and graphic design, and you know, and nobody believes it. Make me believe it, right? So this is why it is so critical to do everything possible to speak the language of your ideal client, to build credibility, and all of that comes, the foundation of all of that is understanding the nuances of their needs and speaking their language.
Exactly. And you know, when you were saying that, I realized this some years ago, Look, we all have big words, right? We use them. We're proud of them. We learned them. We paid for them in some, some cases, you know, with our education. But I noticed, you know, after a while, especially during the marketing pieces that I'm creating and the language that I have to create sometimes for my web development clients, and they'll give me these wonderful documents. I mean, you can tell a lot of thought and sweat and tears went into these things. And then I break their hearts almost instantly and saying, okay, we have to keep this Homer Simpson simple. And they were like, what? I mean, I can almost
Homer
hear.
Simpson simple. I love it.
That's right. Because you have what? It used to be 2 minutes. You could grab their attention. Now it's down to a second and a half. Keep it Homer Simpson simple. I mean, you have to grab them quickly and you have to make sense.
It's so true. And once again, just remember, what's going to get their attention is what's on their radar. And, you know, I mean, what's on their radar? My swimming pool is leaking right now. That's on my radar, right? So, because my wife has put it on my radar, you know, we're going to get this pool fixed. So, it's on my radar. So, you know, if something comes across my desk today that says, you know, I can diagnose and fix your swimming pool. And by the way, if you're listening in today and you fix swimming pools, give me a call.
Call Daryl.
Right? That's on my radar. So I'm going to respond to that. If someone reaches out, I'm going to respond. In fact, I'm searching for answers. And interestingly enough, because I live in a post-trust society and don't trust anybody like all of us, when I went out to do a Google search for swimming pool companies in my local market, guess what I looked for?
Referrals.
It was all about reviews.
Referrals, trust.
Yeah. Who had the most reviews? And then when I went to the review page, guess which reviews I looked at first?
The top
the
ones,
negative
obviously.
Ones, right?
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I want to look. Oh, yeah, I want to know who's unhappy with them. So it's kind of
it
interesting.
Wrong.
Actually.
Okay.
Well, I want to know who's happy, but I figured, you know, that's their mom and their cousin and all that. That put some of those reviews on there. I want to know who was unhappy and how the company responded. And, you know, and so it was interesting. I got to interview a great guy. You should have this guy on your podcast. His name's Todd Capone. He wrote The Transparency Sale. It's a fantastic book, but he used to work for a review company. And, you know, he said, Daryl, he said, buyer, you know, all this research from Northwestern University about the power of reviews and in our post-trust world. And it was interesting because he said, Daryl, we did research and the optimal score for reviews is like, I think he said 4.7 out of 5. And I was like, really? Why not a 5? He said, because nobody believes you. No one
exactly. I did know
stars,
that.
You know?
I did know that because I'm like,
you know,
how did you get 55 stars? Come on now. You know, it's just, and instantly my radar goes up and I'm like,
No, it's funny because, I mean, I'm very grateful. We launched the Revenue Growth Engine in June and we've been able to, I think, get 48 reviews and they're all 5-star reviews. And I'm not asking anyone to leave me a bad review, but it is kind of funny when you look at it and go, you know, I'm thankful, by the way, for 48 5-star reviews on the book. So if you want to leave me a 4-star, not a 1-star, but a 4-star would be fine. But, you know, it's an interesting world. And I think what that shows, you know, when I go to look for the pool company, I'm looking for the one that is other people have vouched for them because I don't want a nightmare. I already have a nightmare. My pool's leaking. I don't want a worse nightmare in my backyard from someone that doesn't know what they're doing, you know, trying to fix it and charging thousands of dollars to do it. So I look at reviews and this is, you know, this is the mindset. And I also look at the company and go, do they understand me? And, you know, this goes back to the outcomes thing. And so all of it here, I think, you know, this message, ask your clients, talk to them, listen to them, read what they're writing on your reviews. Then you'll learn what's really important to them in that list of outcomes you can deliver and focus on that.
That's a good point. I mean, when I go look at reviews, which is rarely, honestly, because I do depend on word of mouth. I live in the Deep South. We all know somebody. You know, we either like them or we don't. So, and I mean, my roofer tomorrow, I mean, he was highly recommended by the guy who washed my house. Good enough for me. Plus, I went to his website. They do exactly what I want. They're showing up tomorrow morning to swarm the place. But yeah, you do have to really kind of do your homework. But here's the thing: when I just lost my train of thought, I was laughing in my head, and I lost my train of thought. It just left. It's gone.
Well, here's my funny story. I was traveling. I spoke at a lot of conferences. I actually spoke at a conference yesterday. It was surreal. It was, of course, a virtual conference, pre-recorded. So I watched myself live speaking at a conference. It was really, really weird. But it was cool. I get to interact, you know, while they were playing the video of me, I get to interact with participants. But anyhow, I have a rule of business travel, Denise. It's the nicer the place you go, the more problems are going to unfold at home. So I must have been in somewhere really nice. I don't know if I was on the coast in Newport Beach or at the Bellagio. I can't remember, but my wife calls and says, the garage door won't open. I can't get out of the garage to go to work. So now you got a problem, right? And so anyhow, what does she do? She gets on Facebook to her friends and goes, who can fix my garage door fast? And, you know, and obviously the recommendations come in. The guy shows up, and as he's, you know, wrapping up and she's paying him, he goes, hey, I'm curious, how did you find me? And she said, oh, on Facebook. And he said, I'm not on Facebook. He said, I'm not on Facebook. Oh, yes, you are. Right. Because this is the way we buy now. We look at referrals and we ask our friends. And this happens in the business world, too. Right. If you need a new accountant, you need a new HR system, you need insert whatever, you know, it is. Chances are you're going to, you know, either pick up the phone or probably send an email or maybe even just throw it out on social and go, hey, who are some good people to work with? And this is the world we live in right now. It's a post-trust world, and I trust people that refer me through.
Exactly. And the Nextdoor app. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of that or used it. Listen, I probably signed up years ago, but never really paid any attention until the COVID shutdown. And it occurred to me, I live in Southwest Louisiana. We are heavily oil field dependent. And I needed a lot of work done in my yard because it's wet, it's humid. You plant one seed and you're going to be ruining that seed forever and ever. You can't kill it. Ask me about morning glory. I can't kill this stuff. So, I don't care if you don't have a green thumb. You plant it in Southwest Louisiana, you'll be mowing it, chopping it, poisoning it forever and ever. So I decided I needed, you know, trimming. I needed a whole bunch of stuff. And I realized that there's a lot of people in the oil field industry that needed, it didn't matter if it's $20 an hour, they needed something. And I hired people on Nextdoor app. I'm still hiring people from over there. That's how I found the guy that washed my house. He referred me to the roofer that's coming tomorrow. They're referrals, and they're good referrals, and I trust them a lot more than I'm going to trust a $20,000 copyright piece.
Yeah, and so spend your time with your clients. You know, you have to be proactive asking for referrals. There's no magic button. It's hard work. But those referrals that you get are worth their weight in gold in today's marketplace, because, you know, people are just, you know, they're done with the corporate buzzwords and the, you know, promises that aren't delivered on. And we all know it. I mean, we all know it. We're all there. So, it's time to do that. And this is an important moment, as we were saying at the beginning of our conversation. Right now is, it's an inflection moment. It is a moment of importance. I mean, next year for many businesses is just simply going to be a make or break year. To use the storm analogy, we've gotten beaten and battered around this year. And next year we've got to be able to move forward and move forward fast. And so, I think that this time right now and I really applaud what you're doing, Denise, because I think that this is a time where we've got to be strategic. We've got to be forward thinking. We've got to be, as we say on the C-Suite Network, where I host the Revenue Growth Podcast, this is the time to drive and thrive. And this, this moment in history, we've all responded to COVID and done what we've needed to do to pivot. That'll be the word of the year for 2020, I'm confident. We've all done that, but now we need to move forward and we need to be thinking strategically about what are we going to do now? We survived. I hope you survived this year. And now what are we going to do to move forward? And this is the time, to dig deep and we've got to be very, very strategic in this season.
Oh, absolutely. So that leads me to wonder, how do we set growth goals? I mean, we don't really know what the economic environment is for the most part, other than, I'm just going to say it, the oh shit economy. What is my show? I can say it. So what should we be looking at going? We're in the fourth quarter of this year. I'm not sure what we can do just now other than pivot, adapt, do whatever we can. But what do you advise people do going into the first, second, third, and fourth quarters of next year? How do they set those growth goals?
It's a great question. And most of the conversations we're having with our clients right now are about this very topic. So when it comes to setting goals for your business, and you miss 100% of the goals you don't set, we have to set goals. And even right now, if you feel like, well, Daryl, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to, what the economy is going to look like. Still have to set goals. So here's how I think about it. Before I share that, though, there are two ways that I've seen companies set goals. One is spaghetti on the wall. We throw a number at the wall and hope it sticks in January. And then we get to August and we go, things shifted. I'm not going to hit the goal. We never really believed in it in the first place. And, that's useless. Don't do that. So I was talking to a financial services company earlier this week, we were doing a revenue growth plan for them, and they were laughing about their previous employer that would come into the sales department and go, yeah, I think you can do $500,000. You're good for $700,000, right? And everyone nodded, and no one believed any of it. So don't be the spaghetti on the wall person. The other way to set goals is the ruler method, where you go, okay, here's what we did this year, the year before that, the year before that. Let's put a ruler on it. We've been averaging 10% growth. Okay, our goal for next year is 10% growth. The problem with that method, other than it just, you're probably leaving a lot of money on the table. The other problem with that method is the ruler is pointing in the wrong direction right now. With 2020, either your revenue dropped and the trend is not your friend, or your revenue spiked because you sold plexiglass or face masks or something, and that's not sustainable either. So how do you set goals? Simple two ways. You go one layer deep from revenue. What drives revenue? Well, there's only two ways to grow a business. Number one, you get more customers. Number two, you sell more to your current customers. So if you think about it, number one, more customers. How many customers do you have right now? So as the dust is settling at the end of 2020, how many active customers do you have? Write that number down. That's your line in the sand. Second number, what is our revenue per customer? This is how we measure how well we're doing at selling more products and services to our current client base. So what's your revenue per customer? And which is actually really simple math. You take your total revenue and you divide it by the number of customers. And now you've got a line in the sand, and then you can start to do some planning. And Denise, in the audience out there, you could say, okay, well, we've got 1,000 customers right now. If we had the right marketing and sales strategies and processes in place, what could we do? I bet we could grow our customer base by 12%. you know, based on our sales team and what's going on. Okay, great. Now 1,000 customers, 12%. Now you have, you know, 1,120 or 1,200 customers. So then revenue per customer. Hey, you know what? If we got strategic about actually, you know, going and meeting with our clients and doing quarterly business reviews, we had a consistent communication model in place to communicate the value we can add to our clients. If we, you know, put different systems in place that we outline in Revenue Growth Engine, maybe our revenue per customer right now is $1,000. Could we grow that by 20% next year? Okay. So now just do the math on that. And now you have your goal. And the goal is now, it's going to be aggressive because we are compounding growth of growing customer base and revenue per customer, but it's also going to be a realistic goal. In Revenue Growth Engine, we call it aggressive but realistic. And by the way, if you're sitting here going, Daryl, that's a lot of math, I'm driving right now, I get it. If you go text the word revenue to 21,000, you can actually, in our toolkit, there's a simple spreadsheet there where you can plug in your number of customers and your revenue customer and just start playing around with different growth of rates and see what your growth can be and what, you know, and then you've got a goal. It's not spaghetti on the wall. It's based in actual, you know, fact. You know how many new customers you need to get to hit that goal, and you need to, you know, how much you need to cross-sell to your current customers to get that goal. And now you're working with something tangible and realistic. And that, you know, right now as we move into 2021 and as we're, you know, kind of shaking our heads with this year going, what happened? We need something to hold on to. And you can hold on to those two numbers and you can benchmark against them and you can grow your company.
Exactly. I'm thinking, though, that a lot of people, just by not paying attention, by not, and I've seen this happen with a few of my clients, we corrected it, but I've seen it happen. People were in such a snit when this happens. Oh, gosh, I've got to bring my team in. You know, they've got to start working from home. Oh, they've got babysitter problems. Mm-hmm. Oh, their dog is back. You know, there's a lot of things going on. And a lot mm-hmm. of them, unfortunately, and I've seen this happen time and time again, not just with my clients, but across, you know, a lot of different blogs that I'm reading, mm-hmm. people forgot about their existing clients and consumers, and they did not stay in proper touch.
Yes.
So how do they get those people back, or do they, and then continue with a growth goal?
Well, you start that. You start driving those conversations right now. I mean, this is a, it's so interesting. If you look at companies and you look at those two numbers, you know, number of clients and revenue per client, net new and cross sell. I ask people, I actually have a survey going out on LinkedIn right now. Are you better at net new business or are you better at cross-selling more to your current clients? And, you know, most companies, and I live in the B2B space where we have sales teams and stuff like that. Most companies are saying, you know, Daryl, we are better at net new business. Yet, I spoke with a financial services client earlier this week. And they told me, data straight from Fidelity Investments, for every dollar that a financial manager has under management, that there are $7 that they could be managing for a client or a company. And
for an existing, you know, client? For existing or
client.
For new?
Yeah.
See, this,
for
why
existing.
Do people do this? If they're so focused on getting new clients, they're basically unconsciously telling their existing clients, well, you know, keep paying us, but we're not going to pay much attention to you.
Yeah, I think that there's so many reasons. Part of this mindset, you know, the way we grow is by adding new customers. No, the way you grow is by adding new revenue.
Right.
The way you grow is by adding new revenue. Part of it is fear. Wow, if I go talk to my current customers, what if they, you know, have a problem, or what if they cancel, or what if blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? If you're not talking to your current customers, somebody else is, and it's your competition.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can tell me all day long that we have great relationships with our customers. Well, prove it. Talk to them, you know. Get out there, find a cadence. And by the way, you may go, Daryl, I don't have time to do that with all of my customers. I would say you're probably right. But what you need to do In the book, we talk about ideal clients. These are your best fit clients. Pareto principle 80-20 rule is in full effect in virtually every business I've ever been in. The top 20% of your customers in revenue or potential revenue need to hear from you on a regular basis. You need to have a personal relationship with the decision makers and influencers. So if you've got 1,000 customers, chances are 20% of them represent the bulk of your revenue and or revenue potential. That's 200 customers. There's, 60 days in a business quarter, 200 divided by 60. That means you need to talk to about 3 clients, current clients a day. And, and you'll touch
and
them
that's
every
doable.
Once a quarter.
Right.
That is doable. Right. And so it all goes down. Everything in all of this, goes down to process. And what processes? These are the cylinders of the revenue growth engine. It doesn't have to be complicated, but one of the core cylinders that we end up implementing in most companies is a periodic business review process with their core clients. So on a quarterly basis, semi-annual, whatever makes the most sense for you, to be able to meet with your current clients, talk about what's going on in their business, listen to their challenges and goals, which will fuel your marketing, and review the performance. And then obviously the bulk of the conversation is about how else you can help them achieve
right.
their goals.
Right.
And the moment companies put this in place, I've seen this happen over and over again, just spending a little time and attention with their core clients, guess what happens? Not only does revenue start growing when those clients go, oh, I didn't know you did this, ..
Exactly.
Additional product service.
Exactly.
The other thing
they
that happens
know
is
what
they
don't
referrals.
Know.
Yeah,
exactly.
They get referrals too. And they, because at the end of that conversation where you've been adding value for a while, you can say, hey, by the way, one of the ways we grow our business, we try to focus most of our energy on helping our clients succeed. So instead of blasting the world with spam and all this garbage, really what we'd like to do is just ask you if you could help us grow our business, who could we speak with that, and this is the source of referrals. And this is where current clients, and they'll take care of you. And they'll help you grow your cross-sell revenue, and they'll help you find new clients, and you'll hit your goals.
And Daryl, they're happy to do so. I think what a lot of people don't understand about solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, corporations, we're human. We are wired, hardwired to want to help. How do people forget
yep.
that?
Well, in all of your, especially when you're working with the executives, they're the ones that started the business. They understand. They have the exact same challenges you do. They need to grow their business. So when you're taking great care of people and giving them that white glove type treatment, they'll help you out. But they can't help you if you never call. They can't help you if they don't have a relationship
exactly.
with you.
That's exactly right. And if they don't hear from you, even though they're very happy with the work you do, you're kind of a nebulous creation. I mean, they know who you are. They know you exist. They're paying mm-hmm. you. But they don't really feel like they can chat with you. And
that's
important.
Right.
You need to have these conversations. And, I call them Christmas card conversations. Like, you're always glad to get a Christmas card. But, oh, geez, now I have to go send another one. I have to send one back to them. You shouldn't get to that point. You should always be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, I have an idea. Is this something you can help me with, or is this something that you can refer me to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. So, this is such good, simple, practical, but very powerful ideas we've been sharing here today.
Very much so. Listen, I cannot believe our hour is gone. It always goes so
wow.
quickly, I'm telling you. And I wanted to ask you, what you meant about ideal client experience. I think you covered that a bit. But listen, before I let you go, tell our audience anything that you think I didn't ask or forgot to ask and that you definitely want them to know about, and then tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, Denise. Wow. I would just say, you know, I just want to cheer you on. As business owners right now, it's tough. So I would say, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Get strategic. It, you know, the good news about all of this is, while the economy is very challenging, when change happens, there's also a lot of opportunity. So have your head up, looking for the opportunity. There's so much more we could talk about, and I'd welcome you to go to the Revenue Growth Engine toolkit and website. You can text revenue to 21,000, and we'll put a growing portfolio of resources in your hands to help. And I'd love for you to grab a copy of the book. And my heart, as we talked about at the beginning, is to help great businesses grow. So I'm sharing ideas wherever I can, and cross-pollinating doing whatever we can to make sure that we grow, because it's the growth in business right now that's going to pull the economy out of the ditch. It's going to provide jobs. And really, you know, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you are the solution to the problem that we're facing in our world right now. You are the future of success in our countries and our economies. And I say hats off to you.
Well said. Thank you. And I just had a random thought about cross-pollination. You have a leaky pool. Have you talked to foundation repair people? I bet they see this all the time.
Yeah,
ask
absolutely.
Them who they recommend.
Great idea.
Always thinking. Well, Daryl, thank you so much, and good luck with your pool. I mean, I don't have a pool, but I have a leaky roof, so we're kind of in the same boat there.
There you go. Well, help is on the way for both of us,
yeah,
so I think we'll be fine.
It is. No, I just need to choose what color I want, and it's like, I want green. Just give me green.
There you go.
But anyway, it has been seriously wonderful speaking with you, and I thank you for the book, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and I strongly recommend that if you're listening to this podcast, you get that book, go to Amazon, or go to his website. I believe it's there as well. And Daryl, I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and the advice that you've shared with our audience. And before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us on iTunes, and honestly, anywhere else you consume your business podcasts, Stitcher Prime, Amazon Prime. I found me there the other day. Shocked me. Anyway, just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Daryl, again, thank you so much.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.